Hello. How's everybody doing tonight? Pull up the chat here. Come in and say hi. How's everybody's Monday going? Let's talk some self-love. Let's start the week off right. Come in and say hi. Make sure you can hear me. Hello, Nancy. Let a few more folks come in. Hello, Miss Celeste. Miss Lori's on the elliptical. How's everybody doing? Day off. All right, Beth. It's always makes for a good Monday, right? Even though I love my job. So, all right, y'all. Let's talk some self-love. Put any questions you have in the Q&A, and I'll get to those. And then if you have, thank you, Jill. If you have any, if you want to get coached specifically on self-love, and really, basically, I'm going to talk about this in a second, but self-love is, I like to think it like I'm a knitter and a sewer and all that kind of stuff. I like to think of self-love as a thread that is woven through everything that we do, right? It is so, so key to not just weight loss, but everything in our life. It all comes back to, and really what self-love is the conversation that we have with ourselves. We're learning about that with Thought Bootcamp this month, right? If we have a very lush, I love the word lush, the team, we are all using that word more and more, because that is how we need to be with ourselves, right? Is we need to have this lush, just amazing relationship with ourselves. And so we need to be telling ourselves things in a very lush way. And that's what self-love is all about, right? So I mentioned the conversation that we have with ourselves. And ultimately, so we know that from the Mastering Relationships course, that all a relationship is what? Actually, I'm going to give y'all a little quiz. What is a relationship? Y'all put in the chat. This is like one of my favorite things to teach about. What is a relationship? Yay, Katrina wins the prize. Your thoughts, right? A relationship that you have is only just thoughts that you have about that person. So the relationship that you have with yourself is just the thoughts that you have about yourself, right? And all a conversation or a story that you have about yourself is just a collection of thoughts. And so you want to have these amazing, loving, lush, thoughts about yourself, just like you want to have amazing relationships, amazing thoughts about your husband or your boss or all this kind of stuff, right? Yes, your thoughts about that person. So, thanks y'all. I'm telling y'all, this dress, I get more compliments when I wear this dress. So, it's super comfy. Anyway, so you really want to work on having an amazing conversation with yourself all the time, right? But here's the thing. Let's get real, right? Let's get, that sounds all good, all well and good, right? But what is that going to involve? That's going to involve the old thoughts coming up to serve another amazing purpose in your life. These old thoughts of, so what are some of my thoughts? Y'all want to hear some of my thoughts? My old shitties? I suck. I'm a crappy coach. Fill in the blank is better than me. I'll never figure this out. Why does it have to be so hard? This is, those are the old shitties. Fully aware, I don't even like to say them out loud anymore, to be perfectly honest, because they're part of the old conversation. And so, but you first have to become aware of that old conversation, right? You first have to become aware of what's going on right now. And so that's the first step. And that's what we're teaching right now in Thought Bootcamp with self-love. With the conversation that you have with yourself, right? All those old shitty thoughts. And so I recognize that. I recognize those thoughts as triggers to think new things and to think things that I've been practicing, to think things that I have on sticky notes or that I have recorded into my phone or all the things that we talk about doing, right? That actually, no, I'm an amazing coach. I have evidence of all this other stuff over here, y'all. People tell me I'm a great coach all the time. What, do I just not believe them, right? But I also have to believe it myself, right? And so it's, y'all, and y'all are not hurting me any over here with all your amazing compliments with my hair and all that kind of stuff. I do love my lighting that I have, y'all. I look direct. This is just a Zoom. I'm totally like going squirrel here on you. But this is a Zoom tip, pro tip. I look directly into a window that looks outside. So that's why I get such good lighting, is because I just look directly out a window. I don't have any kind of light on me or anything. It's just straight out a window. So, you know, and the sun is setting a little bit. So good light right now. You know, no light on above or any other light on in the room. So anyway, yeah, I'm totally going squirrel here. So focus. So those old shitty thoughts are a trigger for these new thoughts. And so they're like a gift to us, y'all. These old shitty thoughts can be like an amazing gift to us. And we don't like them, and we call them old shitty, but old shitty serves a purpose to help us with these new thoughts of, no, actually, I am good enough. I can figure this out. I am figuring this out. I am an amazing coach for all these reasons and all this kind of stuff, right? And so it's just about utilizing those old shitty thoughts to tell yourself the new story and the new conversation that you want to have that can result in you loving yourself. So I listened to a couple of things, and I went through the self-love course, and there are just a few little nuggets I wanted to point out. So when we think about the conversation that we have with ourselves, we think about the relationship we have with ourselves, which is just a group of thoughts. You want to look at thoughts, several different types of thoughts. And this is talked about in the self-love course. Thoughts about ourselves, thoughts about our actions, thoughts about the past, and thoughts about the future. I thought that was so good because we can really start to categorize our thoughts, our old shitty thoughts, and this then also our new thoughts that we want to practice. So for me, the thoughts that I was having about I'm not a good enough coach, you know, I'm a fraud, I'm, you know, so-and-so's better than me, you know, it's all of like, those are thoughts about myself. Those are thoughts maybe about some actions that I took in terms of, you know, coaching someone or something like that. But then what are my thoughts about the past, right? I want y'all to think about that. What are your thoughts about the past in terms of your ability to lose weight? What are your thoughts about that? And then also, what a lot of us don't even think about are our thoughts about the future. Y'all are still talking about my hair. So, Katrina, how does it help to categorize our thoughts? The best way, or the immediate answer I think of, is it just helps you to kind of think about all of them, right? It helps you maybe to uncover some that you hadn't identified yet. I mean, that's the first answer, is just, you know, what am I thinking about the past that might be leading me to have some self-loathing, right? And to not love myself as much as I could. And then with the future, am I even thinking about myself in the future? Am I even like taking myself to the future and really thinking about like how I want to be, how I want my days to go in the future and that kind of stuff? Actions could be eating. Actions could be anything. What do you make it mean when you overeat? That would be a thought about your actions. What do you make it mean when you don't get up and exercise in the morning? You know, what's that conversation, right? It just helps to fill out the conversation that you have now And then you can think, okay, what do I want to practice thinking about myself in terms of myself, my actions, my past, and my future? Like, I've already talked about kind of my thoughts that I want to practice about myself in terms of I am a good coach. I can figure this out. With my actions, it's, you know, everything that I do. Let's say I had an overeat the other day. I like to practice thinking, everything I do, I can learn from, no matter what. Everything. Chris Crabtree taught me, he's my favorite life coach, even though he's not. He taught me that nothing I do ever has to be wrong. And I'm going to say that on every single call that I ever get on, because that right there has changed my life. Nothing we do, we never have to think that it is wrong. Y'all know that? It's kind of a mind blower. What are my thoughts about the past? I think my thoughts are pretty good about the past in terms of, you know, everything. I truly believe that everything happened the way it was supposed to. But what are your thoughts about it, right? You want to think about, how are you thinking about your past efforts at weight loss? How are you thinking about the past 10 or 20 years? Are you thinking that you've wasted time? Are you thinking that you're behind? Are you thinking that, you know, you should be farther along by now? Yep, y'all, it's a big, Chris Crabtree taught me that, y'all. It's just so amazing. So that was one little nugget I took out of self-love. And then here's another way that you can really work on identifying your story, that your current story that you have right now. Look at a picture of yourself. Look at a picture of yourself now. Look at a picture of yourself from 10 years ago. You know, whatever. If you're really wanting to formulate your story, your current story, and then create a new one, that's a great way to start. It's just to look at a picture, like a recent picture of yourself, and say, okay, where does my mind immediately go? But where could it go? Where could it go? And here's the last thing, and then we'll get to some coaching. So I've got one person, but if y'all want to get coached, raise your hand. I got D. I'd love to coach maybe, there you go. I'd love to coach maybe 2-3 of y'all, specifically on self-love. Lori says, it is a strange experience to look at past pictures with all my different weights. Lori, you really want to dig into, why is it a strange experience? What do you mean by strange? I'm fascinated by that word. It's just, it can be a super curious experience, right? Just a super interesting experience. Like, where does my mind go? Where does my mind go first? I love to just like present myself with a circumstance, you know, like a photo, and just watch my brain. You know, when we become coaches, we learn about being the compassionate observer of our thoughts. We don't use that term around here a whole lot, but that's really what you're doing, is you're being a compassionate observer of your thoughts and just saying, oh, my mind immediately goes to, oh, look at my legs. You know, my legs look fat, or, you know, just like, oh, I didn't like my hair that day, right? I mean, it's totally normal for our brain to go to the negative. But you want to just observe them. And then you really want to just offer up the other side, right? Give yourself that equal airtime. Sometimes your brain will go to the positive side too. But I think it's something like 80% are, you know, 80% of the time our brain's going to go to the negative, because it's a problem solver. You know, our brain back here is a problem solver. It's always looking for problems to solve. So it's going to look for problems first. It's strange for me because the picture's always better than the stories I remember from that time. Isn't that interesting? So my thoughts go places I don't always want to go. Yeah. But you want to just let them go there? You know, you always just want to, like, I mean, you know, like, you can let your thoughts, not always, but, you know, thoughts aren't going to hurt us, y'all, unless we act on them. So I like to just get really curious about my thoughts. And just, it's amazing practice for you to just let them be there and then decide what you really want to think intentionally. And then you act on that. But it is possible to just let thoughts be there, let them just sit there and hang out and not act on them, right? But it's a practice for sure. We're having a good little conversation in here. Let's see. I literally never ordered my wedding album. My arms ruined my wedding for me. It still breaks my heart. Julie, that's some amazing work you could do, right? It's amazing work you could do in terms of, do you want to change the story? Do you want to change the story around your arms at your wedding? So, because right now you may be thinking like it's just, it broke my heart and that's where I am and that's where I'm going to be. But you can change the story whenever you want with practice and time. Always. So, okay. Let's see. I'll look through the, I think that's all. Oh, the last thing I was going to tell you was, I love the example that, I don't know if it was Corinne or if it was Brooke Castillo, because I was listening to a podcast on this this morning about it, and she was just talking, or somebody was talking about loving themselves. I think it was Brooke. She was talking about loving, you know, like just the, you know, the act of loving ourselves. And it sounds like it would be this just, you know, super like warm and fuzzy thing all the time. But we've also got to get real about what it's really like on a daily basis. What is, you know, is practicing thoughts really like? And you can think about parenting your kids. Y'all love your kids, right? I got my 3 nieces that I love, you know, so, so much. And that I keep it once a week. And, you know, they're 2, 3, and 6. So it's always an interesting Thursday for me. And, but I love them so much, but that doesn't mean that I give them everything they want. I'm not that kind of aunt. And it's hard sometimes, right? It's hard to tell them no. It's hard to, you know, do what you think is best for them, but you do it out of love, right? You're always doing it out of love for them. So you want to think about that when you're loving yourself. That might involve some hard decisions. But you're always coming back to, but I'm doing this because I, you know, I love myself. And so you want to get realistic about what loving yourself is going to feel like. It's not always going to be warm and fuzzy. But when you can always go back to, because it's I love myself, then you always can kind of go back to be warm and fuzzy, right? Someone said, can you speak to not feeling worthy? Yeah. So that's something I'm always working on. And, you know, we have that question in the planner. Today I'm worth this work because. So what I know about feeling worthy is that we were born worthy. And this is something, y'all, that like my brain kind of cramped on at first. I was like, what? And we were, from the moment that we, you know, came out of the womb, we were born worthy of anything that we wanted. And here's the deal. We don't ever have to do anything or say anything or be anything or lose weight to be worthy of anything that we want in life. But here's something that Corinne said the other day. I was listening to one of her coaching calls yesterday. And like, you know, we can say that and all that kind of stuff, but what is it really like in action, right? What is it really like in the moment? And she said, most of us do not practice the feeling of worthiness, or like we don't know what it feels like. So kind of some homework that you all can do is to go back to a time. First off, it'd just be interesting to think like, have I ever felt worthy? When in my life have I felt worthy? And you want to kind of define, what if you were raised Catholic? it's like you've kind of got to define what worthy means to you. Is it like, I mean, worthiness, worthy, I always go to like worthy of what? Worthy of love, success, money, weight loss, right? It's like you kind of want to define what you mean by worthy, like worthy of what? I like to do that because my brain kind of likes to go into confusion. It's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about with worthiness. So worthy of what? Yeah. All that. And so go back to a time when you felt worthy of love, when you felt worthy of success in life. What did that feel like in your body? You know, we're always talking about doing that body scan and really thinking about, like, what does that feel? And I just think about something that happened last week when I felt worthy of something because I knew that I had earned something, knew that I'd earned it. I felt kind of warm in my chest and I felt a little like some butterflies in my stomach, that kind of thing. So in order to feel worthy, you've got to know what it feels like. And then what was I thinking, right? It all comes back to your thoughts. So if worthy is the feeling, I was thinking, I earn this. I deserve this. I am worthy of this. So think about a time when you felt, and if you haven't felt that, then you want to think, okay, if I were to feel worthy, put that in the F line, you know, of the think, feel, do cycle. And what would you need to be thinking to feel worthy? And if it's helpful for you to add worthy of, let's say, weight loss, what would you need to practice thinking to feel worthy of weight loss and to feel worthy of success in your weight loss? Okay, Julie says she's mixed up because she's, my marriage has made me feel unworthy for many years. That's not how it works, Julie. Your marriage is your circumstance. A marriage can't make you feel anything. It's your thoughts about the marriage that have made you feel unworthy. So for you, I want you to do some journaling and really figure out what are those thoughts that are leading you to feel unworthy. And you could start out with, I am not worth fill in the blank. That might be a good way for you to start your journaling. Because y'all really, we really have to look at that word, worthiness. I'm not worth this because of this reason. That's how you can really kind of dig into. And worthiness is that, I'm talking about this so much because worthiness is so connected to self-love, right? Drawing a blank on what I would need to feel. So it's, or what I would need to think to feel worthy. Yeah. And so I just gave you kind of like a little thing like, I am worth this, you know, like the question in the planner, I'm worth this work. It could be work towards anything, towards weight loss, towards relationships, towards more money. I am worth this work because what is your answer to that? Yes, absolutely, Julie. This is the key to everything. Self-love, self-worth. I mean, if you think that you are worth this work, then you love yourself, right? Yeah, loving your body. And so, Sarita, if you're thinking I'm not worth the time, the effort, the energy, the money, the success, why? That's kind of how I want you to kind of dig in with it. Why do you think you're not worth it if you were truly born worthy of anything that you wanted in your life? Everyone is. Every human is born worthy. Why do you think you're not? That's what I want you to dig into, okay? All right. Let's do a little coaching. D, you were up first, so let's start with you. You were the OG of the list to be coached. So, hey there. Oh, let me see if I can. Oh wait, hold a minute. Okay,
I'll let you do it. Okay. You got it.
We got it. Don't touch any buttons. Right. I won't either.
Oh my gosh! Thank you so much. I appreciate No BS so much. It is life changing.
Yes.
This is my first time being coached.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Okay. Well, I feel worthy as a teacher. Mm-hmm. I went to see my students. I teach kids with autism, and I only have six, and I saw four of them today. And I got a lot of accolades and hugs and cards from parents, and I felt really good about it. And I came home and I showed my mom like some of the cards from the parents. And I'm noticing a pattern. When I say stuff related to work, or things I'm proud of related to what I do, she doesn't share my joy, I guess.
Okay.
So today, for example, you know, I was showing her the cards from my parents and I was so happy. I was on a high because I just saw the kids and showed her these cards. And she said, "Oh, is that all they gave you? Was a just a dry card?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, no, Mom, there were gift cards and stuff like that. But the words they wrote, that was just so, you know, it's just so lovely." And then she went on to tell me about a new job that my aunt got. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't really noticed this pattern before, except that it came on the cusp of something else. It came on the cusp of something else work-related, where I got accolades. And because I had some other thoughts related to that, I did notice that one. Mm-hmm. And then it got me to thinking today, like, wow, that happened when I first got this job. It happened on Teacher Appreciation Day. It happened to, you know, so I was just thinking of all the times and thinking like, this is a pattern. And so I think I need help with my approach. It's not that I don't feel worthy. I do. I just, my thought is that she doesn't seem to want to appreciate me. And I feel disappointed in her. And then, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Does she need to appreciate you?
I want her to.
It's okay to want her to, but does she have to? Because how do you feel appreciated? Appreciated is a feeling, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And, you know, and before you used to talk to her, you were feeling very appreciated.
Yes.
Through your thoughts. You thought it was the cards. You thought it was, you know, the gifts or whatever. But no. You were, like, owning that appreciation through your thoughts. You just kind of forgot that for a second. You were like, oh, but look at all these cards and these gifts and everything that everybody said to me. No, those were all just circumstances in your life, right? And what she said is another circumstance. That's all goes up there in the, you know, outside of you category.
Okay.
But you owned your appreciation through your thoughts. You agreed with what those people said about you. And you said, yeah, I am an awesome teacher. That's how you feel appreciated, is that you tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself.
Okay.
Other people can't make you feel anything. Whether they give you cards or tell you amazing things, or whether your mom says, you know, anything that she says. It's always you telling you.
But Betsy, I do feel disappointed.
You're feeling disappointed because you're wanting your mom to act in a different way, because you think that she has the power to make you feel a certain way. That's always up to you. It's always up to you. And so your mom is giving you this amazing opportunity to feel how you want to feel and do it yourself.
Okay.
Your mom's teaching you how to take responsibility for your own feelings.
Okay.
You don't need your mom. You're a grown ass woman, right? You're no BS woman.
That's true.
You don't need your mom telling. I mean, yeah, you're grown up, right?
So I don't need to do anything, really. I don't need. Okay.
Your mom can have, you know, whatever opinion she wants, right?
Yes.
She can tell you about somebody else's job. She can tell you about all this stuff. And you get to decide that, but that all goes up in your, you know, your circumstance line, right? Then you get to decide, well, that's great for them. But I've got this amazing job and I'm awesome at it.
Okay.
You can thank that whenever you want. And that's how you feel appreciated.
You make it sound easy. I went all the way back to college. I was like, oh, she didn't do this. She didn't do that. She didn't do that.
And so you
want to live.
Yeah, yeah. So you want to think about like, oh, and maybe that time she was teaching me something and that time, or maybe that time she was trying to teach me something and she was trying to teach me something. But now, this is when it all, it's like all that was supposed to happen because to come to today, Monday, August 17th, and I now know that I don't need her to say or do anything for me to feel appreciated. I do that myself.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
And so now, what's so amazing is that, like, she can say or do anything. And you can just love her. And, you know, that's what I do with my mom. I just love her no matter what she says or does. She's my mom. And, you know, she's not probably not going to change. So it's like, and then now, and then I'm in charge of me.
That's right.
I'm in charge of appreciating me and, you know, feeling appreciated through my thoughts.
You made that thing so easy.
Well, I mean, I don't want to make it sound hard, but it does take some practice, right? I mean, we know that it's not just a, you know, a snap of the fingers, but it is possible. And so when you just even just open up your mind to it's possible that I have total control over my emotions, then maybe I'll do a little bit of work on what that might look like, how that might work, right?
Yes.
And like, you know, maybe if I could, you know, if I could go back in time, or just even thinking about like, okay, what she said, this is where my mind immediately went, but this is where it could go, right? Giving yourself that equal airtime. And then just, you know, getting curious about it and thinking, gosh, you know, I could think that she can have, you know, she can say whatever she wants to say, and that's okay.
Okay, so good. That's why it didn't work, because I was trying to change my thoughts about her, but no, of course not. Okay.
Well, no, you were trying to, like, you were wanting her to have done something different, right? Or have said something different.
Yeah. Or trying to change me where I'm not disappointed.
Right.
I don't have to be. And I don't,
you don't have to be. You don't have to be. But you can if you want. I mean, if you want to feel disappointed for a while, just own that.
Okay.
And then, you know, after a while, it may be like, well, do I want to, you know, do I want to keep feeling disappointed? Or do I want to feel something different? You know, but you don't want to come from like a place of resistance of, you know, of where you are. But it's just like, oh, I immediately went to like, oh, you know, I wish she hadn't said that and I felt disappointed. Isn't that interesting? Like,
so if I'm feeling disappointed, what I can do is just think about how I can appreciate myself and enjoy the appreciation of others if I choose to. That
and
can be
then
my view.
In the future, she can say whatever she wants and then you might not even feel disappointed, right? Because you're not expecting her, because that's what happened, was that you came home and you were expecting her. You had a bunch of expectations, sounds like.
Yes.
Like you were going to show her all these cards and talk about how they were talking amazing. And you had this story, like, and she's going to say, yeah, aren't you great? And all this kind of stuff, right? So now it's like, oh, if I just don't have the expectations, then I just get to decide I'm amazing no matter what anybody says. And that just leaves you to like, just let her be her.
Right.
No matter what. And so we all just get to be how we want to be. And yeah. And you can appreciate yourself.
That makes sense.
Okay. Good stuff. I think this was helpful to a lot of people. So, all right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. Y'all are struggling with the worth thing. I want to see if I can help you here. Laura says, I really like breaking it down into worthy of and filling in the blank. And then asking, why would I think I'm not worthy of these things? That's a great way to just kind of get curious about, yeah, why do I think I'm not worthy? Do I think I have to do something or be something to be worthy? Do I think I have to just change myself right? That's a great way. That's, I love that, Laura. Worthy just for being alive. Yeah. And again, I'll tell y'all again that that was a thing that just kind of cramped my brain for a second. It was like, wait a minute, I don't have to like prove my worthiness by, you know, working hard or losing weight or doing things for my husband, you know, to be worthy of his love. No, you really don't. Because again, all of those feelings don't come from us losing weight or doing things for, you know, our loved ones or, you know, working hard. All those feelings come from our thoughts. So just like I was telling Dee, you can feel appreciated whenever you want, because you can feel appreciated by yourself. And if you're looking outside of you for appreciation, you want to think about that. I mean, it's nice. It's a great little bonus. I'm not going to lie. But is that how you want to, you know, is that how you want to, is that what you want to depend on, you know, to feel good? So, oh my gosh, there's so much in the chat, y'all. All right, let's just go to, let's coach a couple more people. Melissa. Well, I'm going to go till 6. Unmute you. I don't know if that'll work. Ask you to start your video.
Hi.
You are. Hey.
So I'm a newbie. I just joined in June. Today is 2 months exactly.
Awesome.
And I've been working on, I realized that when I'm really bad to call myself dumb, mm-hmm. or if something doesn't go right, I'll be like, Melissa, you dummy. Why did you do that? You know, and I'm trying to fix that. I'm trying not to say that kind of stuff. And I think I've done that my whole life. But when I try to replace those thoughts with something more positive or affirmative, it feels insincere. Sometimes it feels hollow. Is that normal? Is that just something I need?
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you just got to kind of keep going with it. Right. Because it's like, you know, yes, all of this, you know, not all of it, but a lot of this thought work is going to feel a little bit insincere at first as you're moving towards believing it, right? Okay. But you want it. But I think it's something when it does, you know, so it's not just going to feel, you know, wonderfully natural from the start. But that's where these latter thoughts come in, where it's like, okay, I'm working on believing, you know, or I keep thinking I'm a dummy and that's okay. I mean, that's my favorite latter thought to just start with. Like, I keep thinking of them. And that's okay. And that reminds you that it's a thought and that it's okay that you think that right now, right? But then you can keep moving forward, you know, keep laddering up to, like, I'm working on believing that I'm, you know, that, what are you saying instead of I'm dumb or I'm a dummy?
Well, right now I'm just saying, and you know, that's just a thought. That's just an old thought.
Yeah.
That's not really... This doesn't really even have anything to do with me. This is just how this happened. But it feels almost patronizing, I guess.
So, I mean, yeah, you're 2 months into this, which is, you know, you're a little bitty tiny baby at this. So,
yeah.
So that's definitely part of it. But you also just might want to think about, like, the tone of voice that you're using, you know, to kind of, even like in your mind, right? Not even necessarily out loud. And this is what's so great about recording your voice saying thoughts, that, because we suggest that in the Thought Bootcamp course, that you just record your voice of, you know, thoughts that you want to practice. And what kind of voice, you know, what kind of tone of voice do you need, you know, do you want to hear yourself, right? Where it's like, that's just a thought. You know, it's like, it's a little bit more kind of compassionate sounding and more, you know, gentle, kind of kind, a kinder tone So that's something that can help you move forward in terms of it being a little bit more, believable and stuff like that. But because you want to be sure, like, there's a fine line between, like, you know, being kind to yourself and practicing new thoughts, and then also, you know, judging yourself and thinking like, don't think that anymore. That goes back into the, you know, you're dumb for, like, that's just a thought. Like, you could say that's a thought in two very different ways.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's what I'm doing.
I think maybe you're just kind of trading one judgment for another. Mm-hmm. And so you really want to think about, okay, if I were to just say, I mean, and you could say, like, you know, call yourself, honey, that's just a thought, you know, or like,
yeah,
you know, sweetheart. I mean, call yourself these things. That's amazing. That's an amazing, like, little tip. Is if we're going to learn to love ourselves, I mean, think about what you call your kids. Think about what you call your dog. Think about what you call, I mean, I see a dog back there. Like, what? I mean, you call these people that you love, you call them loving names. Come up with a loving name for yourself. Like, sweetheart. I mean, you know, if you just start with something like that, it's automatically kinder, right? It's like, you can't judge somebody calling them sweetheart.
I think I was kind of expecting, you know, just a lightning bolt and, oh, you're right, I'm not dumb, you know, so I'm still working on that, but
I think it's sometimes a lightning bolt happens, but sometimes it's almost like it happens, like, after something, like, after a click happens or a, you know, whatever, it's like you realize it, like, 2 weeks later, like, oh, I think I had a click 2 weeks ago, because ever since then, you know, I've been much nicer to myself, or I've been kind, or I haven't been overeating, or whatever it is, right? So sometimes, like, you realize the click happened, you know, after the fact. And so for you, I just think it's just like, just keep practicing, keep really hearing how you're saying things to yourself, and then just keep going. And
all right,
you'll get some success for sure. So,
all right, thank you so much.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was really good. I love to, y'all cracking me up. My dog can step in poop and still be majestic. Yeah, y'all. What if you loved yourself as much as you loved your dogs? That's a great question to ask yourself. Cats, too. Let's see. But y'all, I want y'all to post in the chat just for fun. Here, right here, it's driving me crazy. What's a Celeste? Now, I know you love your dogs. What's something that you could call yourself? Sweetheart, love, sweetie, honey. Sugar plum, I love it. Honey bunches. Come up with just a fun name to talk to yourself. My dear, buttercup, cutie. I love it. Lovey. Pookie. Y'all are cracking me up. I love it. That's just a neat little hack. Okay, let's answer a couple questions. let's see, there's a bunch here, so I'm just going to kind of pick and choose here. Do you have any advice for self-love during a time of intense grief? I've lost a very significant source of love in my life, and I see myself spending a lot of time mourning the love that I've lost. Okay, K, they just put the letter K. Here's the thing about relationships and grieving. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm assuming maybe you've lost someone. Someone has died, or maybe someone has left your life. But here's the thing about relationships. All a relationship is, I think I talked about this earlier, right? All a relationship is thoughts in our mind. So you can't, that create a feeling of love for you. So you haven't lost the love. because you still have the ability to think loving thoughts whenever you want. So you haven't, we can't lose love, y'all, unless we just choose to think unloving thoughts or different thoughts. That's why we can have a relationship with someone who has died. The Q&A box, y'all, is right over my face. That's why we can have a relationship with someone who's died. My grandfather died last week. And I, you know, I can just choose to love him. We weren't super close. But I'm just choosing to love him for who he was, no matter what. And I always have. It really had, it never changed. My relationship with him never changed. Because I just decided I was going to love him no matter what, whether he was here or not. And so you can do that too, Kay. That significant source of love in your life were your thoughts. They were not the person being there or saying something or doing something. You always had a thought that created love for you, love for love. And you can still think that if you want to. Okay? Let's see here. Deanna said, this is in relation to the first coaching call I did. It was Lee, right? But can she tell her mom that she doesn't like it when she does that? She can tell her mom whatever she wants. Y'all can tell people to quit saying stuff, not say stuff, say stuff. But y'all know it's a free country, right? And we all have free will. We can do whatever we want. So why would we even depend on that when we know people can just do whatever they want? I'd rather just focus on changing me because I know I can change me. Okay? Why is standing in front of a mirror saying I like and love myself so confronting and emotional? Probably first off, because it's not something you're used to doing, Lee. It's just not something that you're, the last caller. Sorry, D. I saw Lee and I said Lee. I'm real big. I want to get everybody's name right. Yeah, so you want to think, I mean, confronting and emotional, and you want to get specific. What are the emotions? But part of it is probably because you're having a thought like, well, this is new. This is uncomfortable. This is hard. I don't know about you, but most of us, I don't think most of us do that on a regular basis. So yeah, it's totally natural that it bring up all kinds of feelings for you. But confronting, I want you to kind of dig into that. What is going on there? So why does it feel confronting? What are you confronting yourself to, right? I love to kind of think about words and what they mean. What are you confronting when you look at yourself in the mirror? You're probably, again, you're confronting something new. You're confronting something that you've never done before, that you're not used to doing. And so it's so normal. It's so normal. But does that mean that you shouldn't do it? That's probably where your unconscious brain goes, because when you do something new, your unconscious brain freaks out and thinks, this is uncomfortable. We are about to die. Let's stop this, right? So you've got to move over to this brain and say, no, this is something we're working on. I'm going to take 10 minutes, not 10 minutes, 10 seconds. Just give you, I always say, like, give you another, a coach friend said this, just give yourself a teaspoon of these emotions that don't feel great. Just give yourself a teaspoon. Say, okay, I'm going to stand in the mirror. I'm going to set a timer and stand in the mirror for 10 seconds and tell myself something nice about myself. That's it. That's all I'm going to do today. That's all you got to do. Yeah, I love that concept. Just a teaspoon. Just a teaspoon. Now, we don't have to pour, you know, emotions down our throats, especially emotions that maybe we never felt before or that we've been terrified of feeling. And so we've been eating instead. Start with a teaspoon. So that's what I was talking about with T-spin. Just keep working on it. Just keep working on it, Lee, okay? Just keep working on it because you can change. Everyone can. Okay. Let's coach one more person. Julia, you're up. I can tell we need to do more of these calls. There's a lot of y'all on here, and there's a lot in the chat. So, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, it's my first time. It's very exciting. I was like,
all right. Oh. Congratulations. I love all the first timers because it's, you know, you can, it's just good. It's just good that y'all are getting on here and doing something for yourself. Yeah. So, yeah, what's up?
I've started doing the self-love course, but I haven't gotten too far. I got the book, the mirror book, and started it Friday and then restarted it again today.
Is that the book that Corinne's been talking about or?
Yes, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I haven't gotten that yet. Mirror work. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it all very challenging. I'm, what I'm kind of stuck on, I've been stuck for months on trying to lose kind of the last 10 pounds because I'm stuck on, I don't like the body, my 54-year-old, almost 55-year-old body. And it's when I envisioned what I would look like, it was a picture I had from like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then my brain was like, oh, you're not that anymore. It's like, oh. And then the rest of my brain was like, did not realize, which sounds ridiculous, but that's what happened. And I'm having trouble getting past kind of the, I'm having trouble getting past, I guess, accepting my body the way it is, not getting past to accept my
body. Yeah, that's really, well, first off, it's like, I mean, I just want to give you kudos for realizing like, oh, yeah, okay. I was looking at this picture from 20 years ago and yeah, I'm not going to look just like that. And so it's very clear, right? There's no mystery of why you haven't been able to lose the last 10, right? Because it's just like your brain is like, but we're not going to look like that picture.
Right.
And so let's just keep, you know, keep doing what we're doing, right? And so now you've got a decision to make. And it's just, okay, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm going to look like in 10 pounds, but it's probably going to be pretty similar to the way I look now. And, you know, but, and is that what I want? Right? It all comes back to what you want. And, you know, it's totally, you have an option to stop now. You have an option to keep going. What do you want?
And I keep telling myself, well, I want to see what 10 more pounds, 10 less, not 10 more pounds, 10 fewer pounds,
yeah.
Looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want to have the choice to see what happens. Like, yeah. Does it make a difference with the, you know, the back fat that I didn't ever have before, you know, that I still have. And I'm like, how did this happen? I mean, I know how it happens.
But your story about like, let's see what happens is coming from this. So let's see if this like horrible stuff that's going on right now is going to go away in 10 pounds. It's like, it's not coming. It's coming from a self-loathing place.
Correct. Right?
It's like, let me see if the stuff I hate will go away in 10 pounds.
Right.
So
right.
For you, it's like, that's why it's not sticking. That's why you're stuck. Because you're not coming from, your reason is coming from self-loathing instead of self-love.
Right.
And so what is a loving reason for you to lose the last 10 pounds? Or do you have one?
I don't really have a big reason. I think, you know, I feel like the lighter I am, the easier it is to play with my kids and I exercise absolutely every day. That becomes, I think, even 10 pounds, you know, every 10 pounds makes a big difference in that. I'm sort of hoping that that'll improve. I would like more energy. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, it's like you're kind of like, you're like, well, I hope this happens. You know, this might happen. But that, in the moment, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, right? Are those good enough reasons in the moment to, you know, not overeat? To, you know...
But, no, they're not.
Yeah. So there's your answer right there, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, do you want to come up with some reasons that, you know, you really like and that will help you in the moment? Or do you just maybe not have any good enough reasons? And it's maybe time to focus on loving yourself just right where you are. Do you love yourself as you right now as you are?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it may just be, that's kind of what I've been working on. Like, you know, I've been at a lower weight and I've been at a higher weight and I've just decided to like, I'm at 150. Like, I mean, I'm just like, I'm just going to stay at one. I'm just going to be here and I'm going to practice believing that this is enough. You know, this is right where I need to be right now and really work on my reasons for loving where I am right now. And that's an option for you.
I have thought of that. I'm exactly at that weight as well. And I'm like, you know, this is not a bad thing. And I've been trying to take more pictures, more selfies, and like, I don't like it, but I'm trying to. And sometimes there's a picture. There was a picture from when I was a long bike ride yesterday with my daughter. And I was like, oh, I look good. And I'm like, whoa, like that's a new thought.
And then like you were on a long bike ride with your daughter, right? Like you had the physical ability to do this. But I want to point out what you said, like, this isn't like bad, but I want you to work on like, you know, being at this weight isn't bad, right? But I want you to, it's all about this lush conversation that we have with ourselves. I want you to turn around to, how is this amazing that I'm at this? Because like, I already hear you. I mean, you're like, you're going to the negative, right? You're going to kind of the scarcity of it. But like you were able to go on a long bike ride with your daughter.
Yes.
Do you realize like maybe you couldn't do that?
Oh, for sure. You know,
I mean, because how much weight have you lost?
Right. 40 pounds.
40 pounds. 40 pounds ago, could you have gone on that bike ride with your daughter?
Not like that. No. No. I would have gone and then I've been like, I quit.
Yeah. You would have been, you know, yeah. And so it's all about turning things around. And really focus, you know, again, just giving yourself that, like that equal airtime on this side of like, but look at all this stuff I can do, mm-hmm. you know, that I couldn't do 40 pounds ago. And yes, there, you know, might be other things I could do in, you know, in 10 pounds, but again, are they reasons that I like enough to do it? And only you know that, right?
Right. Right.
Only you can decide that. And but you can absolutely be okay with right where you are too. That's an option.
Right. Right. Okay.
So, you know, it's just like sometimes even if, you know, you could lose weight, do you really want to? It just comes back to what you want. And
my brain, my urges and my overeats keep telling me, well, apparently not.
Apparently not what?
Apparently you don't want to lose weight.
Yeah. I mean, and you want to not coming from a place of judgment. You just want to get curious about that. Like, okay, what's going on here? Like, you know, if, you know, I thought I wanted to lose 10 more pounds, but I keep overeating. What's the conversation that's happening here? And, you know, okay, maybe I don't, but let's, you know, get intentional with whatever, let's just make a decision. Right. Right. And, you know, I know from personal experience, like, you know, it's when we have to kind of decide what we want, my brain likes to go to, but there's a right and a wrong decision. Like, you know, I'm scared to make a decision because maybe I'll make the wrong one. Or, you know, and it's like there is no wrong decision. You know, a decision made is the right decision, whatever it is. And here's the thing. You can make a decision to either lose weight or to maintain your weight. And then you can set a date sometime in the future to reassess, right? It's not like you're, it's set in stone for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
You know, and that's also where our brain goes like, oh my gosh, if I just make the decision, I'm stuck with it forever. No.
Right.
But with this decision that I made to stay at 150, I just said, okay, I'm going to be here until the end of the year. And then I'm just going to see, you know, how it goes and how I feel and all this kind of stuff. And then I'll reassess at the end of the year. And then I'll decide if I want to lose, you know, more weight or not, or gain weight or whatever it is. Right.
Right.
And
right.
So that gets your brain out of the, you know, constantly questioning.
Right.
What we're doing. You've made the decision. And then you're, you know, it's like, no, we don't reassess now. We reassess, you know, December 31st or whenever it is.
Right. And I had the kind of short term goals that I kept, you know, that I kept saying, oh, well, by my birthday, which is in 10 days, like, I'll be like, you know, this weight by then. And I'm like, oh, that's not going to happen. And then you sort of beat yourself up about.
Yeah. And those are the little, you know, those are all the little pokes, right? The little just, you know, picking at the scab. And
right.
So that's what is, you know, what can be hard about, you know, setting goals with specific, you know, deadlines and things like that is, you know, okay, you can do that. But I actually just worked with a private client on this earlier today. I said, okay, you can set any goal you want, but what's going to happen when you get close to that date and you know you're not going to reach it?
Right, right.
You got to go there now, like when you're setting the goal, right? What are you going to make it mean about you if you don't reach it? And because I always say, you know, a goal is 90% or is 10% achieving it, and 90% the person that you become towards, going towards it.
Right.
All about that middle part. We forget about the middle part. We just focus on the end date.
Right, right, right.
And so, yeah. So it's just like, okay, you know, when you're setting a goal, you want to think about who's, you know, who do I want to become, or, you know, or what do I want to work on? What habits do I want to build? All this kind of stuff. That's what goal setting is about. So, you know, it's just thinking about really what you want in life and making a decision, liking your reason, and then being okay with, you know, with your brain kind of wanting to question it every once in a while, but just reminding it that, nope, this is what we want. Learning to want is a skill. It's a skill I'm always working on because, you know, everybody's got opinions about what you should do and society and media and all this kind of stuff, right? But the only opinion that matters is yours.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good stuff. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. There we go, y'all. Oh my gosh. Y'all have just been so chatty. Now I want to go back and read all the chat but I'm going to limit this call. I'm going to go ahead and limit this call to an hour, y'all. But I know from, let's see how many of y'all are in here. Where's my participants thing? There were 250 of y'all in here at one time. So I know that this is a topic that y'all are very interested in. But do you all know? Okay, y'all, who is signed up for October camp? Who is signed up? Y'all know that the overall overarching theme of October camp is going to be self-love, this very topic. So, of course, Corinne will be coaching and teaching on all kinds of stuff, but we know that this is the key. Just like someone said at the beginning, this is it, y'all. This is what it's all about. We can follow the four basics. We can do all of this stuff, but if we don't love ourselves, it's not going to stick. It's not going, if we don't love ourselves on the way down, we don't love ourselves now and then and everywhere in between, it's not going to stick, y'all. Because self-love, Corinne said this at our last camp, and I wrote it down a little sticky note when I was in that chat. We can't wait to love ourselves, y'all. We can't wait. We can't wait until we lose our weight to love ourselves. Life is short, y'all. Don't y'all want to just love yourself now? So how can you do that now? It's through your thoughts always. Okay. So if y'all didn't get coached today, we've got So here, let me just kind of go through the calendar real quick, because we've got a little bit of a change in schedule because we're headed to Nashville for our team retreat on Thursday and Friday. So office hours is moved to Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Time. So with Coach Kathy, I do believe. Yeah, we've got a little bit of change in calendar. And then I will be back for office hours on Sunday at noon, because Corinne is going to be out next weekend. So we've got like 2 days in a row of office hours, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 9 a.m. Central, Sunday at noon Central. So if y'all didn't get coached today, come back on, raise your hand, and we can talk self-love, we can talk anything. Because office hours is just open coaching, right? And so, and all the calls are recorded. But then before that, we have got, let's see, what have we got? We've got the Q&A tomorrow that Coach Judith is doing tomorrow afternoon. I don't have the time right in front of me. And then we've got Corinne is coaching her, coaching all the LGBTQ plus members at noon on Wednesday. And then we've got the parent coaching from Lisa Smith. I heard last week was awesome. And this week she's going to be talking about what to do when the kids have a meltdown about school. Y'all, we've got just all kinds of stuff to work on right now, right? Yeah. And so she's going to be doing that on Wednesday. And then again, Kathy, office hours on Saturday, and I'll be back for office hours on Sunday. Okay. So get on there if you want to get coached, and I will see you then. All right. Y'all take care.